Yes, a very good morning all. Tuesday, April 9, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And yes, as you heard in the intro, he's back, baby, from Mumbai. Pup, morning. Or good evening to you. How are you, mate?
Morning, boys. Early morning. 8 minutes past one here, buddy. Going well, thanks. How are you, Loz? Morning to our listeners. Nice to hear you, boys. Going well. Everything's pretty good over here. I just heard your weather report, Mido. It's a lot different over here. It's about, well, even at this time, it's probably about 34 degrees. So it's stinking hot in Mumbai. Same. A lot of cricket. A lot of Aussies doing really well. Couple of Aussies under pressure as well. And I don't know if you heard, but Mitch Marsh is out at the moment injured. There's some concern around him, how bad it is. So he's gone for scans.
That's hamstring, right?
I'm not even sure exactly. Yeah, well, I'm not sure which one. Because he's had some hamstring problems in the past, back in hemi. So I don't know if he's tweaked the same hemi. But they sent him for a scan the other day. And, yeah, I think there'll be some nerves around certainly bringing him back too early. So Delhi, which is obviously Mitch Marsh's team, Dave Warner's team, they haven't been great at all. Ricky Ponting's team. So, a bit of pressure around those boys. And it continues to grow over here. It's one of the things I think, you know, in a competition where you only got four overseas players and they're paid so much money, as soon as you miss out a couple of times with the bat or with the ball, geez, you're under the pump. It's probably a little bit like coaching in the NRL at the moment.
Morning, mate. What's up? Hope you're having a good time over there, Pupster. Morning, Mido. Coaching in the NRL. You lose four or five games and all of a sudden you're under the pump. But the biggest story here yesterday, Pop, I don't know whether it made its way to India, was the sale of the Winx filly.
$10 million. Did you buy in, Loz?
No, I was about to ask you the same question.
We both wish.
Yeah, unbelievable scenes there. I watched it online yesterday, and to see the emotion on Debbie Caputis's face when she bought it, to see everyone congratulate her. There was this guy from overseas that wanted to buy her. He was prepared to go to $9 million, but he wasn't prepared to go to $10 million. And it's the highest selling
smashed record. Yearling.
What was it? 2.6.
For a yearling filly was 2.6 was the record. The first bid was $2 million, and the highest. Well, it's the new world record for a yearling filly at auction. The record was $8.9 million in 2013. So Debbie Caputis, Wopat Bloodstock, has just smashed that. Opening bid $2 million, and yes, you referenced American tycoon John Stewart. He was the underbidder at $9 million. Naturally, the horse is set to go to Chris Waller to be trained. So, and quite a lot on the text line here as well about, well, I'll, just this sort of sentiment. Morning, boys. Can someone tell me why the owner of Winx had to pay $10 million for her filly? Don't they own the horse, any horse that Winx gives birth to? It's like putting my house on auction and then bidding for it. Am I wrong? The Condor. Well, the thing is, there's multiple owners and you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and they might have had differing opinions on what they wanted to do. So this is a way of, I guess,
buying them out.
Exactly. Going their own way, so to speak. So, because you have the Trawick family and the Richard Trawick passed away in recent times. You've got Debbie Caputis, and you've got Peter Tighe as well. So, you know, I'm sure behind the scenes they've had many discussions about what they wanted to do going forward with Winx and her offspring. So they decided to go to auction, and Debbie Caputis has gone. Well, she said yesterday she actually didn't go there with the intention to buy, but just couldn't let it go.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, the emotional attachment to Winx and the filly, and wants it to stay in Australia. And I was reading online today, you know, Blake Stott agents and plenty of people are saying the value will always be there. the value with this horse will always be there through the bloodlines. So it's amazing. It was amazing seeing it online yesterday at Inglis. There was plenty of people there watching it. I think everyone was unsure. Everyone was taking a guess on what it would go for. Most people thought around 4 to 5 million max. I don't think I ever heard anyone say anywhere between 9 and 10 million. Not once, but it happened.
Extraordinary amount of money, isn't it? So, yeah, history made there at the Inglis Easter yearling sale yesterday. And we'll have Adam Pengilly, who was out there at Inglis covering it all yesterday for the Sydney Morning Herald. We'll get his reaction to what it was live in the ring there yesterday afternoon. For that, Evan Priest, will speak to him heading towards the Masters as well today also. And we're going to speak to Jim Sarantinos, the Parramatta Chief Executive, later this morning as well. And obviously there's heat on the Bunnies, certainly first and foremost. But, gee, Parramatta is just such a hole they're in, Loz, without Mitchell Moses, isn't it? And you wonder how they're going to get out of it. And for this club, if you know, I'm getting way ahead of myself in the course of the season, but to miss the finals, if they did so 2 years in a go after making a grand final, you wonder how that all plays out and ends up for Parramatta. But, gee, without Mitchell Moses, it's hard to see how they get themselves out of this.
Well, they've been disappointing the last 2 weeks. There's no doubt about that. The Tigers were too good for them, and then the Raiders just blew them off the park. And they really didn't look like a team that was playing together. They missed plenty of opportunities to make a statement in that game against the Raiders, who were desperate. I thought at times they just lacked aggression. They lacked that connected spine. It's just not working. Taulagi and Dylan Brown is the number seven at the moment. I think he's possibly got to go back to six, and they've got to find a seven to take that pressure off him, allow him to get back to what he does best, and that's his running game, and to be able to spot opportunities and weaknesses in the opposition but give the control to someone else. But it would be a big disappointment, I reckon, if Parramatta don't make the finals. Because I think
Loz, do you train in the pre-season? Do teams train without, like at a session where they say to their number one playmaker, like a Moses or Adam Reynolds, they say, go and sit off. Because we're just going to prepare like you have been injured.
Yeah.
Because they look like they're a team without leadership at the moment.
Yeah, no, they would do reps with a lot of other players, but more likely that would happen in the pre-season rather than during the competition. So they've been 5 weeks in now, and a lot of those guys, some of those guys, because they've been unsure of what to do in the halves, and they've gone with Taulagi, that young Ethan Sanders may not have had an opportunity to run a few reps in there. And he's the young bloke that they're talking about as being the saviour this week, coming back and playing halfback. He's a guy that's highly thought of by a lot of clubs. I know the Raiders were very keen on him. He was a good young schoolboy player. Gets an opportunity possibly this weekend to see how he goes. And I think if you've got a genuine number seven, that'll help Dylan Brown so much rather than a makeshift. Yeah.
It's just not his game, is it, to be that controlling
moment.
Number seven?
No, not at the moment. He probably got the capabilities of doing it, but I just don't think he's ready for that just yet.
Really sad news that came through yesterday. Tigers, club legend. Well, for the Balmain contingent, certainly. Mourning the death of Keith Barnes, Sunday night, aged 89 years of age, simply a club legend of the Balmain Tigers, playing there in the 50s and 60s. He obviously has a grandstand named after him at Leichhardt, played for Australia. Post-career became a very prominent administrator, was chief executive, amongst other roles as there. Loz, and I'm sure Block will have much to say, as he's spoken about Keith Barnes quite a bit on our show before. And I'm sure he'll have a lot to say when he joins us on Thursday morning. But just, just an icon of that club, really, Keith Barnes.
Oh, most definitely, Mido. I think Keith Barnes, anyone that knew him will always speak about him in the highest regard. He was such a gentleman. I knew Keith personally. He was our manager on the 1990 Kangaroo Tour. Threatened to send Blocker home, by the way, a couple of times.
as you do.
But had a great way with people. Very calm, very honest. Wouldn't meet a better person. He was a guy that was a throwback in time because of the way that he handled situations. He didn't rant. He didn't rave. He was always considerate. He always made it about everyone and being a part of a team and working together. Lovely man. You know what? I don't think I ever heard Keith Barnes swear in anyone's company.
A sportsman that doesn't swear.
Yeah, I don't think I ever heard Keith Barnes swear. There you go. Always a gentleman. Always a gentleman. And 89 years of age and led a long and distinguished life. Wonderful player. A wonderful player. You'll hear a lot of people talk about Keith in the coming days, about just what he meant to Balmain and captained Australia and, you know, goal kicking. But
did I hear Block say he thinks he was Balmain's best, Loz?
Yeah, ever? I think he did, yeah. And they've had some wonderful players.
I read that a couple of days ago, yeah.
Golden boots, stand there at Leichhardt Oval, named after him. Inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Australian Hall of Fame. But, yeah, just a lovely man. Lovely person, Keith Barnes.
All over the mainstream news is the sale of the Winx filly. Oh, I couldn't let her go. Front page of the Daily Telegraph. Front page of the Sydney Morning Herald as well. Born to run, Winx filly fetches $10 million. On the front page there of the Herald. And I think Ross at Kingsgrove puts it pretty well here. Look at it like this, gents. She owns, as in Debbie Kapitas, a third of the horse, so technically she only paid around $6.6 million. I guess that's one way you can look at it, minus all the expenses associated, of course, to Coolmore for raising it, to Inglis for auctioning it off, etc. But we don't know. Like, you know, Queenslander Dave's got some comments about it as well. We don't know what has happened behind the scenes, the deal behind the scenes with the owners. But, you know, at the end of the day, it went to auction and Debbie Kapitas went, stuff it, I'm going to buy it. So, you know, I just don't understand some of this criticism. It's okay. anyway, it was a great theatre there yesterday. Well, we wait to see now whether she can produce on the track. As we know, some of our champion mares over time, they find it hard to produce offspring. Well, not even anywhere near, just getting them to the track is very, very difficult. Like any of us who've owned a horse, we know how hard it is just to get to the track, let alone be competitive.
You'd be taking deep care with this one. And it wouldn't surprise me at all. Do you reckon she'll race as a two-year-old?
No.
I was thinking that driving in here this morning. I don't know why I was thinking that. I was thinking, you know, they're probably going to take their time with her and obviously not going to ever risk her, but they might just wait for her to mature. And if she does that at three, maybe give her a race then and see how she goes.
And as Adam Pegilly said to us yesterday, if she gets to the races and, you know, just doesn't show a whole heap, she'll be in the breeding barn very quickly. That's generally how it works out with these sort of offspring. So
we'll see how it plays out. It's interesting though, isn't it? Because you would know this. So she won, 33 in a row, her last 33. But how long was it before she won her first Winx? Did she show ability early?
Pretty sure. Yeah, she won on debut. Did she win on debut? Yeah, she did. She won at Warwick Farm, June 2014. She won on debut.
She did win on debut, right.
Yeah. She won her first three races.
Right, so she obviously showed ability then.
And then she was beaten by First Seal in the T-Rose and the Flight Stakes as a three-year-old.
Yeah.
That's right. First Seal had a great record against her early doors as a three-year-old filly. And then it was, the Sunshine Coast Guineas, and the rest was history.
Was it Larry Cassidy?
I think it was, actually, Loz. I think you're spot on there. Just trying to look it up here. Yeah, here it is. Larry Cassidy.
Larry, yeah.
16th of May 2015, the Sunshine Coast Guineas, the start of the 33-race win streak. Back pages of the paper, and naturally, there's a lot of Souths. Mitchell set to front South Sydney Bosses on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald today. And Michael Chambers writes that there is today a meeting with Latrell and Rabbitohs Power Brokers there at their Heffron Park training facility. And, well, apparently this has been put in the diary for a couple of weeks, just so, you know, so that everything's okay with Latrell Mitchell, but he's now out for 3 weeks. I just wonder around the club how much everything's just wearing thin, Loz. It's just always...
Well, you know what worries me, Mido? This is one thing that concerns me. At the end of last year, they met and they spoke about being honest. And they've probably had 2, 3, 4 honesty sessions already this year. And what's the end result of that? They're 1 from 5. Mm. With the talent they got, I think if you're being really honest, you're not getting results like that. Mm. So unless you're going to have these honesty meetings and come out with the truth, what you really believe is happening, you won't get to the bottom of it. For me, it's quite simple. They've got to work out what the problems are. If they don't, they'll just keep getting inconsistent results and their season will keep going downhill. But they could stop it if people are prepared to say what they think their truth is.
And on truth, I think Phil Gould raised a point on 100% footy last night on Latrell. He pondered whether anyone's actually sat down with him and asked him, does he really want to play this game? And I've thought that sometimes watching him. Sometimes you do watch him and think, does he really love playing rugby league? Mm. And then there are other times tramples over the top of someone, does something spectacular, and is one of the more talented players you'll see.
Well, there's probably players that don't enjoy playing it, and they're just playing it for the money. You don't know. I don't know. Unless you...
That's exactly right. Like I said, I was going to say, Loz, there's people in all sports.
Yep. Unless people they get to...
I remember reading Andre Agassi's book.
Yeah.
He makes it very clear. He didn't love tennis. He didn't enjoy tennis, but...
He hated it.
I think at the end of the day... Especially in a team sport, when you look around as well, like you, even if you're having an ordinary day or it doesn't feel good or you don't want to be there, but you look around and there's other blokes right beside. Like you do your best because you don't want to let them down. That's why you see a lot of players keep so much in. They don't tell the media everything. They don't talk about their life outside of footy. Because, you know, they mightn't have the love and passion and the desire that some other players do have, but... Mate, when you look around and see your teammates, the thing that burns you the most is letting them down. So that's why you turn up every day.
And Rabbitohs await Crow call on Demetrio is the back page of the Australian. The Eels, Sixers and Sevens rookie can save Parra's season on the back page of the telly. The call, as Loz mentioned before, could Ethan Sanders be thrown in there into the halves? We'll see team lists, of course, later this afternoon. Bird of Sprays on the back page of the telly. NRL reviews Roosters coach's post-game blast. He was a pretty strong Trent Robertson about the sending off of Dominic Young, who's copped a suspension. Got some sympathy for a coach backing his player straight after the game, Loz.
Yeah, I didn't... I'd have to go back and read the comments closely, but I thought he was close to the line but didn't cross it. I didn't think he questioned the integrity. I think he just questioned the decision.
He thought it was over the top.
Yeah, but I don't think you're questioning the integrity of the referee. I think you're just questioning the decision being right or wrong. In his mind, it was over the top and wrong. Mm. But I think I'd love to get Robbo's comments now, because I think most people would agree that was a send-off. Yeah. That was a send-off. He got him flush.
Definitely.
Dominic Young.
In the chops.
Mm. Yeah, most... Yeah.
And he was concussed. On the back page of the Courier Mail, battle lines. Broncos set to gamble on Walsh as derby tensions rise off the field. So the big build-up to the derby on Friday night, the Battle of Brisbane between the Broncos and the Dolphins as well.